Elokesh's story. In the first three episodes of this podcast, we told you about a girl's murder that turned into one of colonial Bengal's biggest scandals. But who was Elokeshi? Most of what we know about Elokeshi is through the media frenzy around her death. All reportage around the time only gives us sweeping generalizations about her loose character and questionable morals. We tried to dig deeper to learn about her outside of the scandal. But the truth is, there isn't much verified information about her life. There are conflicting reports even on how old she was at the time of her death. From the little that is available, there are some clues about what her life may have looked like before she was killed. In this episode, we try to piece them together. TS Studios presents Forgotten Crimes. Elokeshi was born in a village near the Tarokeshwar Temple in Bengal. Reports say she was the oldest of three sisters, but we don't know for sure. Her father, Nilkomal Mukhopadhyay, was a man of limited means. He owned a small property worth Rs 2,000 and some cattle. He lost his wife when his daughters were very young. Being the single parent of three daughters was not ideal in colonial Bengal. Families prayed for sons so they could go out and earn a living. Girls were expected to stay indoors and viewed as financial liabilities. Nilkomal eventually married again. He was significantly older than his second wife, Mondakini. She became a key player in Elokeshi's murder trial after many witnesses accused her of intentionally pushing her stepdaughter into the clutches of the priest. One of the voices who spoke up against her was Elokeshi's sister, Muktukeshi. Evidence suggests Elokeshi's sister had a strained relationship with their stepmother. In one of the plays staged on the murder, there's a poignant scene in which the actress playing Elokeshi laments that if her birth mother were alive, she would have saved her from this hellish situation. Perhaps in her last days, Elokeshi felt this way as well. According to reports, Elokeshi married Nobin Chandru in Kurmun village in 1867. She was between 8 to 10 years old. Marrying off daughters before they hit puberty was par for the course because the Hindu Shastras encouraged child marriage. Elokeshi's sister Muktukeshi was also married around the same age. It's safe to assume they hadn't received any kind of formal education. We don't know anything about Nobin's parents, but it was likely that they had already passed away when he married Elokeshi. When he moved to Kolkata to work at the printing press, he left Elokeshi at her maternal home under the care of her parents, but he continued to visit her often. 6 years went by. Elokeshi and Nobin hadn't become parents yet. From what little we know about Nobin, he wanted a male heir, and Elokeshi had tried everything possible to grant him his wish. She was lucky to be married to a man who was a Kulin Brahmin and not middle-aged, a dream come true for a young Bengali girl at the time. But not being able to conceive so many years into the marriage had mounted unimaginable pressure on her. She must have constantly lived under the fear of him leaving her for other women who could fulfill his desire for a son. Her fears were valid. Kulin Brahmins were known to practice polygamy. Before Sati was banned, on the passing of a Kulin Brahmin man, their pyres were known to burn for days as their multiple wives would either stand in line to jump into the fire or be forced to do so. A desperate Elokeshi may have felt she had no choice but to turn to the Tarokeshwar temple to cure her. The temple was already infamous for corruptions and shady practices of the priest Madhub Chandragiri. There were rumors that the priest picked his victims from amongst the young pilgrims that visited the temple for treatment and had his henchmen procure the girls for him. Several eyewitnesses who testified during the trial said they had spotted Ilokishi around the priest's private residence, which was out of bounds for other regular devotees. Ilokishi was boxed in from all ends. She was dealing with the anxiety of failing her husband and society by not bearing a child. And she had got trapped in the treacherous environment of the temple. All of this at the tender age of 14 or 16. None of the commentary around her showed any empathy for how miserable and confusing the situation must have been. There were clear contradictions between the reality of a situation and how popular culture viewed her. As we heard in the previous episode, most of the Kalighat paintings represented her as a mature, sexually aware, and promiscuous woman. One of the reasons for this could be that the media was monopolized by men. The slanderous newspaper articles, plays, and paintings all represented the male gaze. This changed once women started finding a voice, being educated and thinking of a life beyond serving their husbands at home. A great example of this shift was Rukmabai, one of India's first woman doctors and a renowned feminist of the time. She first caused a stir by writing a series of anonymous columns in the Times of India newspaper under the name The Hindu Lady in 1885. Rukmabai was unabashedly critical of the Hindu Shastras and questioned regressive practices like child marriage and enforced widowhood. Much later, she revealed her true identity. The impact of having female dissenting voices was felt 17 years after Ilokishi's death, when another horrific murder case rocked Bengal. Phulmoni Das was roughly 10 years old when she was raped and murdered by her husband. He was about 30 years old. The fallout of Phulmoni's death played out differently from Ilokishi's. This time, women's organizations and reformers across Bombay, Calcutta, Pune and Ahmedabad mobilized themselves and fought tooth and nail for a landmark bill that raised the age of consent for sex from 10 to 12 years for girls. The bill was a huge win for women's rights and a massive blow to orthodox Hindu rules. It's been 151 years since Ilokishi's death. Several strides have been made in women's rights in India. In 1978, the minimum age of marriage was increased from 15 to 18 for girls and 21 for boys. In 2005, a new law provided women with protection against domestic violence. In 2009, the Right to Education Act guaranteed compulsory and free education for children between 6 to 14 years of age. That said, the more things have changed, the more they have remained the same. The cases of violence against women in India have not let up. In 2022, a National Crime Records Bureau report found the number of cases of crime against women were equal to about 51 FIRs per hour. And every time a new scandal grips public imagination, the woman at the center of it is still the one blamed, judged, and shamed. Stories like Ilokishi's need to be retold to challenge how society views these crimes and the women at their center. This podcast is brought to you by TS Studios, the production company that brings the Swaddle's creative point of view to original podcasts and films. Narrated by Shayoni Gupta, written by Koena Ghosh, associate producer Vibhav Saraf, creative producer Mohini Chaudhary, sound designer Arya Nanji, fact check Bhavna Goni, art director Neha Shikhawat, marketing collateral design Hitesh Sonar, Research Consultant, Geraldine Forbes. Supervising Producer, Srishti Malhotra. Executive Producer, Carla Bookman.